All right, turn with me in your pew Bible this morning. As we continue on our freedom from fear, we are going to talk about the fear of death this morning. And if I was to maybe ask that question and say, you know, show hands, how many are afraid of dying? Truly, probably all of us would raise our hand this morning. But also, I know that most of you and many of you hold on to hope, the hope in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to learn about that today. And I hope that some of you maybe are on the fence. Do I have salvation? And my goal is that by the end of this message, that you have assurance, that you know where you stand. And that's a good place to be in your journey of faith, because not many things will stand in your way if you can get to that point in your life. And so let's read Scripture here this morning. Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to start at verse 21. And so I'm just going to read a few verses. Then we're going to talk about this bleeding woman, this sick woman, just a little bit. And then we're going to finish about Jairus and the sick girl, or sick daughter, or dead girl. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus. Now notice who he is. Notice where he comes from and what his job is. He's a synagogue ruler. He's a Jew. Notice who he goes to. That's pretty important as well. So Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And so as Jesus is making his way through the crowd, he gets touched by this woman who's sick. "I've been bleeding for many years, wasn't able to be out in public, wasn't be able to go about her normal life." And Jesus noticed that he was touched, the power leaves him. That's this next set of verses, and I'm not going to read them because it'd be a long read today. But he stops and he deals with this woman and he blesses her and she's healed and so on. And then he goes on to say this now. Pick it up with me on verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Spirit this morning. I pray that these words are your words. And as I deliver this message, Lord, I pray for your strength. Lord, I pray too that as these words leave my mouth, may they be your words today. May you give us assurance and may your truth just be spoken here over this pulpit. Lord, I pray that for those that have gathered here today that you give them strength. And Lord, as these words resonate with them, may their spirits be opened. May you teach them something new. May you stretch their faith today in a way that they will grow. Lord, may you give them assurance of eternal life through you. In Jesus I pray, amen. On a Saturday morning, in April of 1990. It was my first experience with the death of someone close to me. I was home from college, working at the Farmer's Elevator in Elvord on a Saturday morning. At that time, the manager was Wes Kudem, and he called me over the two-way to stop in the office. And when I walked into the office, there stood my dad with a look on his face that I will never forget. And at first, as he began to speak to me, his words were so jumbled and shaken that I couldn't understand what he was trying to tell me. But I knew it was something serious. And he told me these words, in which I will never forget. "Rob, Lorne Knobloch was killed late last night in a car accident by Emmitsburg, Iowa." And when I heard those words, I was overcome with fear and emotion. Lorne was 19 at the time, a good friend in high school, a roommate in college. Now, I tell you this story this morning not for your sympathy or your compassion. I've dealt with God on this for almost 30 years now, and I'm very much at peace with this, with my friend's death. But I tell you this morning because in that moment, in 1990, I needed Jesus Christ. Lorne's death was a marker in my life that would lead me into ministry and would be the first close death within that two-year period where I buried two other people that were young and very close to me as well. In this passage this morning, we see Jairus needing Jesus to hopefully heal his sick daughter. He's in the same place as what I was when he experienced this same type of thing. So in this story this morning, Jesus confronts one of our biggest fears that you and I will ever have: death. Jairus is on his way to Jesus, a Jewish synagogue leader. Now, you got to remember what's going on at the time, because Jews had no time for Jesus. They thought he's a false prophet. This is crazy. Why would he even go there? But he was moved by the circumstances of his daughter, who is deathly ill. Jairus realizes he needs Jesus to heal his daughter. He realizes that this is his only hope, that Jesus can save his daughter. And as the story goes, as he's waiting for Jesus to finish up speaking to this crowd and healing this sick woman, he gets the news that his daughter is dead. How heartbreaking that must have been for him. He had come to Jesus with the hope that Jesus would heal his young daughter. And now he believes that all hope is lost. Once you're dead, you're dead. And I believe that for us this morning, that we also get caught up in that same fear when a loved one dies, that all hope is lost. Fear of death. Whether a loved one or even our own death, we might cast doubts. There's always that little voice in the back of your mind that, did they have salvation? Were they good enough? Did they know Jesus? And we might be able to answer that in the affirmative. Yes, they're in church every Sunday. They knew their Bible well. We believe that some are there, most definitely. And we rest in that. But part of us, in the back of your mind, at least for me, is there's that little bit that you always question. You might doubt. Did they have salvation? And you might even ask yourself this question this morning: do I have salvation? If I was to be called upon this earth today and taken from it. And here's the reason why I stand up here every Sunday and preach to you the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that this miracle that we read about this morning in Scripture is a foretaste of what is to come. And what a day that will be. And let's dig into this just a little bit deeper this morning. Mark 5, verse 36. These are Jesus' words. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So let me ask you this question. Believe what? What should we believe as Christians? And you might be formulating an answer in your head right now, but here it is. Jesus can and will raise his people from the dead. Amen? That's exciting news. We celebrate that. You and I, we rejoice in that good news. Because there's a lot of people that we love that are no longer here with us anymore. Listen to the story in Scripture. He took her by the hand, and he said to her, "Look at the love and compassion he has." You can just see Jesus grabs this little girl's hand, holds it, and tells her to get up. "Young girl, get up." Talitha kum, which would be Aramaic, is what he used with this little girl. "Young girl, get up." And they're completely astonished. Jesus proves his power over death by raising this young girl from the dead. To me, that's a very powerful and hopeful story that we can celebrate this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says this: "When Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first." For those who are in Christ, Jesus will say to Lorne Knobloch, my friend, he'll say to Ben Dieters, to Paul DeBoer, to Mona DeWitt, to Rick Harmlick, and your loved one, "Get up! Get up!" And what a day that will be. And the names go on and on. I believe in the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. I truly believe that if we truly believe that when they don't have, we do not have to fear death, people. And I want you to understand that this morning. Now, that does not mean that you and I want to die today. I want to live life to the fullest. I want to get to know my grandkids someday and watch my boys get married and have a full life, just like all of you do. But sometimes we don't get that option because that's not God's plan. But when God's plan kind of interrupts your life, may I just speak to you from the heart today that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus brings eternal life. No other God can do that. Remember that. Only Jesus forgives sin through his death on the cross to give you eternal life. Remember that. And I've come to a place in my faith journey, for believers, death is our ticket into heaven. And I'm at peace with that. Do I miss my loved ones? Most definitely. I miss them greatly. But I know that it's only for a short time compared to eternity with Christ that I'll get to meet them again. You know, are any of you getting older? I'm afraid we all are, aren't we? You know, when I was a young boy, it seemed like 80 or 90 was a long, long ways off. But now that I'm 25... 80 or 90 is a little closer, isn't it? So here I sit today. I'm in my mid-40s. And if God grants me a full life, and let's say I do live to 90, in 45 years, I will be with my loved ones again. That's not that long, is it? When you really look at that, compared to eternity with them, the day's growing closer and closer and closer that you'll get reunited with your loved ones in heaven. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? It's not that far away. Now, I realize some of you might be a little bit older than me, and you might get there before I get there. Now, that could be great news, because there will be a reuniting, and there will be a family reunion, and you're going to meet Jesus face to face. What a glorious day that will be. That's hopeful. That's exciting. And I want you to get that today. But at the same time, I must share with you that my heart is heavy. Because there are so many people in this world that don't know who Jesus Christ is. And even worse, I know there's people in this world that know who Jesus is, and they believe that they don't have salvation. Because they're not good enough. How could God forgive my sin? This terrible sin, whatever it might be. And there's so many that fear death because they're worried about their salvation. In fact, we don't even like to talk about death because we're scared of what's to come. You see, there's always that fear of the unknown. And so I want you to know that you don't have to fear the unknown because you know the known, Jesus Christ. We spend thousands of dollars on our health, trying to keep us from dying. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of trying to live a full life, and I don't want to take that away from you. But I think most of the time we spend lots of money so we can extend our life because we are afraid to die. And I don't want you to live there in the fear of death. Jesus shows us that in the face of death, He brings hope. He brings peace. He brings life. And if you have doubt this morning, turn in your Bible to John 3:16 with me this morning. Grab that out of your pew. Open to that page this morning. I'm going to read this, and I want you to follow along. Because it is so simple that a lot of people just think, how can it be that simple? John 3, verses 16 through 18. I'll give you a minute to find that in your pew Bible. Now, most of you might not even have that memorized, but I want you to listen closely to the words as I read them. This is what He says to you this morning. So for you that are doubting, for you that are on the fence, do I truly have salvation? Because I know who Jesus is. I've spoken of Him, but I still am not assured. Here's what He says. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Believe is what Jesus says that you and I should do. Believe that I'm the Son of God. And so if you believe that, then we go on and we say this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. You are forgiven. Does that resonate with you this morning? Your sins, you have to ask for that forgiveness. You can pray to God and say, God, forgive me for my sins, which can be many and numerous, which can be deep and hard, and maybe you think you can't be forgiven, but John 3:16 says, no. If you believe in me and you ask for forgiveness and you accept me as your Savior, you will not be condemned. Eternal life is yours. For you doubters out there this morning that are on the fence, this should be enough. It's that simple. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't earn your way through your sins and try to be good enough and try to hold on to the Ten Commandments and do those things. It will never work. That's why Jesus came, to make up that difference, and you are washed in His blood by the grace of God. And maybe you're not at that point this morning. May I encourage you not to wait. Do it today. Young people that are sitting in the audience this morning, I had a good friend at 19 who was gone like that. He was not a member of the church. He grew up apostolic in Leicester. He went every Sunday. He knew who Jesus was. He's in Sunday school. My hope is that when he knew when he was going to hit that bridge that night, that he cried out to God, "God, help me." That's what I hang on to. But I don't know for sure if he has eternal life with God. I'm not his judge. So young people, if you're out there this morning and you haven't spoken Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do. Make profession of faith. Have that assurance that you're saved. And I know the hearts of just about all of you young people here. Many of you are ready. You've got it. You know who he is. And may I encourage you today to make that next step in your life. Let me share another point of view with you this morning that I think is very important for us to understand in these scripture verses today. Jairus went to Jesus because he had faith. He had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter from this sickness that she had. Deep faith. Notice he was a Jew. But he knew where to go. The Spirit moved him in a way that drew him close to God. Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal her. Faith is something that can be seen. And let me explain that to you just a little bit this morning. If you have your outline, there's some definite words you need to realize. See, you see, faith, it kneels. Faith, it begs. Faith, it reaches out to Jesus in times of desperation. It goes. Let me share another story with you this morning. How many remember this story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea? Anybody remember that story? Yeah, Sunday school, right? Let me share a little. If you don't know that story, I want you to know that story, right? It's one of the most popular ones. They've made movies about this and all that kind of thing. So they're fleeing Egypt, and they get to the sea, the shoreline of the Red Sea. And there stands Moses with thousands of people behind him. And then God parts the waters. On dry ground they cross. Now he probably parted these waters. And I can about imagine you get down to the bottom of the Red Sea or whatever. And you look up and all you can see is water on both sides of you. Do you think that'd be a little scary and intimidating? How many of you would want to go? How many of you would like to cross in that situation? You got the Egyptian army on your back, and now you're telling me, God, you want me to walk through here, and the water's 25 foot high, and it's a long ways across. You see, the point I want to make to you this morning, in order for us to step through those types of situations, you need to have faith that God is going to keep you safe. Why should eternal life be any different? You need to have faith that God will resurrect your loved ones and you from the dead. Because that's what the Bible says. You see, faith steps out. Faith trusts God in what he says. And may your faith be rooted in Jesus Christ. Go back to the story about this young girl. What saved this father's daughter was that his faith was directed toward Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus could heal. You and I need to believe that Jesus can heal and raise people from the dead. And so the Bible says, in order for us to be saved, we need to profess his name as our Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Because there's an alternative that I have not brought up this morning. And I don't want you to go there. Because it's not a good place. And I also know this. Believe me that there will be times when our faith will be tested. When a loved one dies. Now this story we read today, it's a story of great joy. Of somebody that's dead, a young child that's brought back to life. But not every story in Scripture or in our own lives ends like this. Sometimes the story is terrible. It's devastating. we often question why, and we don't know why. The Bible gives us no answer a lot of times. Not every child, not every loved one is healed when we pray for those types of things. Nor has anyone been brought back from the dead lately. I haven't met anybody lately, have you? No. We haven't. And so here's the point in this story this morning. Jesus doesn't promise here that no death or that every terrible disease will be healed. But what he promises to us this morning in this story is hope. That there's an eternal hope of a resurrection one day. Hope that this is not the end. You and I, we do not have to fear death. That's something that we should not be scared of. Rest in these words today. They're on the screen. They're from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's been conquered. Jesus has risen. Amen? Amen. And so will his people. Let us pray.